Blog Talk Radio.
Hola, boricuas del mundo. Esta es otra edición de Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show. Yo soy su anfitrión, Will Santiago Viera. Bienvenidos, mi gente. Buenas noches, boricuas del mundo. ¿Cómo están todos? Yo espero que estén bien. Esta es una noche para mí, por lo menos, un poquito calientita. Ya, no sé, el verano, o sea, el calentoncito no se quiere ir. Pero yo estoy gozando eso un poco porque yo ya con esta edad pues le tengo miedo un poquito al frío. Como ustedes saben y como escucharon, yo soy Will Santiago Viera y este es su show, Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show. Hoy tenemos un show muy interesante. Tenemos a nuestro amigo y autor Nelson Dennis, que viene a contestarle a un par de profesores que atacaron su libro, pero hablamos de eso un poquito antes de hablar con Nelson Dennis. Y recuerden que aquí hablamos inglés, español y spanglish. So usted va a escuchar esa variedad de habladurería aquí en este show. Pero que ahora tenemos nuestra página, nuestra webpage, que se llama presenteydepie.org, y que queremos que usted vaya a esa página y así usted puede entonces unirse a las otras páginas que tenemos de Facebook y de Twitter. Todo lo que tiene que hacer es ir al link que dice Our Websites and Pages, y ahí pues puede unirse a nuestra página de Twitter, nuestra página de Facebook, darnos un like o unirse al grupo Boricuas of the World Social Club. También en esa página pues pueden escuchar algunos de nuestros archivos del show este que están escuchando ahora. También tenemos una parte donde tenemos los news links, o sea que noticias que nosotros pensamos que es importante y que se deben leer, la ponemos ahí. También tenemos eventos de la comunidad, que si, por ejemplo, si algo está pasando en algún lugar que tiene que ver con nosotros los boricuas y ustedes nos mandan esa información, nosotros lo ponemos en nuestra página. Recuerde que tenemos 69,000 seguidores y nosotros le enviamos esto a la gente mensualmente por correo electrónico. Y además la gente, pues, mayor parte del tiempo ya tienen la página y van a menudo a mirar lo que está pasando. Tenemos también una parte que es, creo que es la más importante, porque Boricuas of the World Press, donde tenemos distintas personas de nuestra comunidad y personas ya establecidas que son nuestros, ¿cómo se dice?, nuestros ojos en la calle. Y escriben artículos que los envían a nosotros, nos los envían, y nosotros pues lo ponemos en esta página también para que la gente lo pueda leer y puedan gozar de ellos. Así que vaya a presenteydepie.org, presenteydepie.org. Vaya allá, mire bien las páginas, únase a nuestros grupos. Si quiere escribir un artículo, déjeme saber y nosotros con mucho gusto, si es un artículo que va con nuestras reglas, no puede ser un cualquier artículo, tiene que ir con nuestras reglas, y si nos manda un correo electrónico a Will, W-I-L, la W grande, _ Santiago, la S grande, al presenteydepie.org, yo claramente le puedo explicar cómo es que lo hacemos, y ahí mismo también nos puede enviar el artículo y rápidamente, pues si es bueno, lo ponemos. Normalmente lo hacemos a finales de mes. De todos modos, nosotros tenemos, como les dije, a nuestro amigo Nelson Dennis, que viene al aire esta noche porque hay una controversia con su libro. A Nelson le entregaron un trofeo, le vamos a llamar, que se llama Frank Bonilla Award by the Puerto Rican Studies Association. Eso lo maté. Frank Bonilla Award by the Puerto Rican Studies Association. Y entonces hay un caballero que se llama Harry Frankie Rivera y otro caballero que se llama, creo que Geoff o Geoff Burrows, que tienen un problema con el libro de él y también tienen un problema porque le entregaron este trofeo al caballero. So we have Nelson, who is going to aclarar, is going to clear this out for us. So Nelson Antonio Dennis, welcome once again to our show. Normally we have the Boricua Book of the Month. We will do that next week, as we thought that it was important for Nelson to air this out today. Nelson, how are you?
Saludo, Will. Gracias por esta oportunidad. It's always great to be on your show. So I look forward to it. Thanks.
Okay. So you have a controversy.
And, yeah.
This one is a juicy one. It's been brewing for a while, but now once you were awarded the Frank Bonilla Award by the Puerto Rican Studies Association, a professor named Harry Frankie Rivera and Geoff Burrows, both these fellas, accused you, and you're being accused of plagiarizing, misquoting, misleading, and lying on your book, A War Against All Puerto Ricans. So I'm just going to let you take it from here and, you know, tell us what is going on and how do you feel about this and whether these folks are on the right or not.
Bueno, por primero, thanks. It's great to always to be here and to have a forum where we can do things in depth. Yo diría que este tema, si le tengo que dar un nombre, sería Retrato de un Vendepatria Cobalde. And the name and the person that I'm referring to, unfortunately, sometimes you just have to name the name, is Harry Frankie Rivera. And I'll even spell it so that people will be fully aware if they want to Google. Harry is Harry. Frankie is spelled F-R-A-N as in Nancy, Q-U-I. So it's Harry Frankie. Harry Frankie Rivera is the name. And he's a teacher, got a PhD somewhere. I don't remember where. He has had a problem with my book for the last year and a half, and he's been hounding it. He has been saying things like that I have the coherence of Sarah Palin, and that the book is cartoonish. He's just been going on. And so now, when the book won the very esteemed history award, it's called the Frank Bonilla Book Award. And Frank Bonilla was the original founder of the Centro de Estudio Puerto Riqueño, and he was the executive director of the Center for Puerto Rican Studies for about 20 years. So he's sort of an iconic figure. So the book, the History Award, is named in his honor. So the Puerto Rican Studies Association, PRSA, honored the book War Against All Puerto Ricans with that award this year, and they asked me to go to the award ceremony, which was held last week in College Park, Maryland, where the University of Maryland. So they asked me to go, and I went. By the way, at my own expense, it cost me almost $500 to take for the travel and the hotel. So at my own time, at my own expense, I go down to you know, because I thought it was important. This is the time when Puerto Rico tiene mucho problema, and we have a financial control board, and there's a wrong narrative being told about Puerto Rico, that we're in debt, that we're used to debt, that we're just administering the money, that basically Puerto Rico is at fault for itself, where in fact there's an entirely different and more profound narrative that includes the Jones Act, that includes Puerto Rico being able, permitted to have its own shipping industry, that includes all the prices in Puerto Rico costing 15% more from the U.S. For all U.S. products, that includes Puerto Rico being the fifth largest market in the world for U.S. products. There's more Walgreens and Walmarts per square mile in Puerto Rico than anywhere else on the planet. Basically, the fact that Puerto Rico is sustaining the American economy more than vice versa. That's a basic thing, and that's a basic element in the book, War Against All Puerto Ricans, where we see very clearly that over the last century, one of the things the United States has done is impose debt into the economy of Puerto Rico, deuda. There's even an interesting book called Confessions of an Economic Hitman, by a man named John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which is precisely about, it's a nonfiction book about how he, for a very fancy management consultant company, went all over the world, but especially to South and Central America, injecting trillions of dollars of debt into numerous national economies, and then that debt would be owed to Wall Street. So this is the time now, with this financial control board going down, and Puerto Rico, for instance, the electrical rate is going to go up by 22% next year in Puerto Rico, a todo el mundo, and they're already paying 300% what we pay here in New York. It's that serious. More Puerto Ricans are going to have to move to Orlando, Florida. So this is a time when we need to be really clear in our thinking and ethical in our behavior, and to be courageous in defending Puerto Rico, and to be, as much as possible, united, to be supporting each other, to be united, to put all our energy into trying to preserve and save Puerto Rico. But that's not what happened at this conference, because when I won the book award, this man named Harry Franqui Rivera resigned from the conference, and then he demanded that the entire executive board resign, that they be kicked out of office because of their selecting my book. Now, that's a very extreme reaction. And this person, without any real documentation throughout the last year, Harry Franqui Rivera, has been attacking the book. And now, very in keeping with his character, he did it again. Because you know what you said? They accused the book of plagiarism, misquoting, misleading. They made, but you know what he did? He didn't document, he didn't substantiate, he didn't even identify any of those claims. In other words, he didn't give a single example. So that's like being like in the McCarthy era, where you accuse somebody of being a communist with no evidence whatsoever. Comunista! Send him to jail without a trial. That's exactly what this guy tried to do. And you know how low he did it? He wanted to do it in secret. He wanted to have these charges made without anyone even communicating them to me. That's amazing. So he wanted to make these blanket charges, because I saw the letter. And by the way, the letter was made public because you know when I read it? I saw it in the NILP, the Angelo Falcon, in his newsletter. So he went very public with it. But he also wanted to accuse me of being an anti-Semite, of anti-Semitism, because I included a joke in my acceptance speech. I'm going to tell you the joke. I'll tell you right now. Here it goes. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Here's the joke. Two Jews stand before a Nazi firing squad. First Jew, your first Jew yells, "Wait a minute, I want a cigarette." The second Jew whispers, "Shh, don't make any trouble." That's the joke. That's it. And it's a Jewish joke. It's a traditional Jewish joke written by Jews, communicated by Jews to each other to illustrate the need to stand up to bullying and to oppression. You know, to not say, "Don't make trouble." How are you not going to make trouble? You're about to get shot. Don't make trouble. You know, at that moment you make trouble. So I use that as an illustration that Puerto Rico is in the same position where it's standing before a firing squad right now, and that this is the time to make trouble. That Puerto Rico is staring down the rifle barrel of the entire capitalist system, and we need to stand and defend it. How the heck is that anti-Semitic? But it goes further, Will. You know, it turns out that this joke was recited word for word, just like I recited it to you, word for word by William Safire, who was a New York Times columnist. He recited that joke word for word in the New York Times, and I provided the link to the PRSA so they could see it. I can send it to you. Actually, you can just Google the words, "Nazi firing squad, don't make trouble, William Safire." Just do that and it'll come up. Okay.
I certainly will.
So not only the New York Times, but even the Jewish Defense League, and several Jewish magazines, Jewish authors, scholars, intellectuals, if there are pages and pages of internet references to this joke. It's even so well known that it's called "Don't Make Trouble." That's the joke. I mean, it's known in the. So how can you possibly be anti-Semitic when this is a pro-Jewish, pro-Israel joke to illustrate that you got to stand up for your rights.
Well,
so I don't know if he's married to Harry, mattered to Harry Franklin Rivera, or if he even bothered to research it, because he was looking for any kind of excuse to try to tarnish the book. So unfortunately for Harry, I did research it. I did document this. I provided all these links, about over a dozen of them, the New York Times, authors, playwrights, intellectuals, newspapers, and magazines, all of them Jewish, that where they specifically recited this joke, word for word. So I guess he's going to call all of those Jews anti-Semites, all of them, including the Jewish Defense League and the New York Times. Okay, so if he does that, I guess he'll look ridiculous a second time. See, but here's the part that really that gets to me. If you remember what it was like read or studied what it was like in Nazi Germany, there was fascism. They were accusing people. They were doing it behind their backs. They were doing. They were trying to ruin them and maybe even kill them without them even knowing who was accusing them. That, in fact, the entire literature of Franz Kafka, Kafkaesque, is built on that. It's built on this oppressive system that you don't even know who's accusing you. Well, that's exactly what this man, Harry Franklin Rivera, wanted to do, because now the way he's spinning it, I responded to these so-called charges in an article that came out yesterday in Angelo Falcone's NILP newsletter. And I put it on my Facebook, which is Nelson Dennis, and also War Against All Puerto Ricans. That I have a Facebook page for that. So in both pages, if anyone that's listening wants to read it, just go on Facebook and go Nelson Dennis or go War Against All Puerto Ricans, and you'll see it. And it was there, what I did in order to write this response is I actually read the doctoral dissertation of Harry Franklin Rivera. I mean, it was torturous, I got to admit. But, you know, to be thorough. And I found out something interesting, that in the year 2010 when he wrote it, he wrote very prominently and repeatedly that the Puerto Rican Commonwealth was a new sovereignty, that it gave political sovereignty to Puerto Rico, and that it alleviated the colonial status that had existed before. That's what he said in 2010. That was a main central piece of his dissertation. That the Commonwealth was real, that there was a change, that it gave political sovereignty to Puerto Rico. And then I provided the link, and it's in the response that I just mentioned. If anyone sees it, they can just click on it, and they can read it. But then in 2016, now he's going in different historical blogs and saying that Puerto Rico received no sovereignty in 1952, that it remained a colony, that the Commonwealth was a fiction. So in other words, he's done a whole 180-degree turn. Why? Because the political winds have shifted. So this is an academic opportunist who will say whatever is convenient, whatever he thinks will fit the political expediency of the moment so that he can move forward in his career, whatever. This is a person that I find a little difficult to take seriously. He also said in his thesis that the Jones-Shafroth Act of 1917 was not enacted, even though a month later 18,000 Puerto Ricans were sent to war, that it was not enacted for the purpose of recruiting Puerto Ricans into the army. That's what he wrote, a central part of his thesis, doctoral thesis. Now, and again I gave the link, he says that the moment that the Jones Act was the Shafroth Act of 1917, Puerto Ricans were recruited en masse in great masses, in disproportionate amounts into the U.S. Army, and they've been recruited disproportionately ever since. So, in other words, excuse me, Harry, but then if let me give you an analogy, Will. If you go to the Department of Motor Vehicles and you're blind, you can't see, but somehow they make a mistake and they give you the driver's license, right, and but you're blind. And then a few years later, the DMV finds out that you're blind, that you can't. they'll take away your driver's license, right? They're not going to let
you
keep driving blind.
I would suppose
they'll say,
so.
I'm sorry, we made a mistake. We need to take back your license. Well, it seems to me that, you know, going on what I've seen now, if Harry Franklin Rivera himself is specifically repudiating his quote-unquote academic dissertation, then I guess they should take his PhD away. Because if he wrote a PhD that was completely wrong, and the basis for his being an academic is a PhD that he himself now is saying and admitting was entirely wrong, bueno, pues, vamos a estar cuenta clara. Then I guess, you know, you got to take away that light. That's the way it seems to me, but that's another matter. So what apparently I'm seeing with this person and people like him, Harry Franklin Rivera, is when they're caught in this personal dilemma and they start becoming exposed for being inconsistent and basically fraudulent, they lash out at other people. Now, he tried to do it with me, Will. He tried to do it. But, you see, I guess he didn't expect that I was going to undergo the torture of reading a 300-page doctoral dissertation and analyzing it with great, great care, and then cross-indexing and correlating it to all the subsequent writings that he is engaged in. I guess he didn't expect that I would have the courtesy of reading his material in the way that he has not read mine. So now when he saw that he kind of like, he picked a fight with the wrong dog, he's going in another direction. What he is now doing is he's demanding the resignation of the Puerto Rican professors of the PRSA that are on the board. He's demanding that they admit that they were wrong, that they give an apology for what? For what? And that they resign. So if you think about this, well, he's willing to inflict collateral damage on the careers of other people, of other Puerto Rican professors, because it is the Puerto Rican Studies Association. He apparently has a beef with my book, whatever it is, you know, maybe I hate to say it, maybe it's jealousy, or because there's no consistency to what he's saying. I'll give you one example of the inconsistency. One big problem that this man, Harry Franquis Rivera, has had with my book is that he says that it's a hagiography, that it is too extremely over-respectful of Pedro Albizu Campos, and that my book should be titled Ode to Albizu Campos, Homenaje a Albizu, that it should be titled that, because it's so over the top in revering Albizu Campos. Now, you know who he's teamed up with? He's teamed up with a writer named Pedro Aponte Vasquez, and Pedro feels that my book is not respectful enough of Albizu Campos. In other words, the exact opposite of Harry. So Harry goes into an alliance with someone that's entirely on the opposite view. That's like a communist and a capitalist getting together, right? And the only thing that matters to Harry is that they're both attacking my book. So the intellectual dishonesty of this alliance that he engages in, that doesn't matter to Harry as long as it's just attacking this book. So this is a person that really, you know, very evidently, very obviously doesn't have the academic and the intellectual honesty that you would expect. And if you think about what he's doing at a time when we're supposed to be at the all hands on deck, todo unido, a defender Puerto Rico, let's apply all this. You have a PhD? Fine. Go and study the history of Puerto Rico and understand what's happening now and defend the island. Don't start attacking the people that are trying to help Puerto Rico. That's it. You know, and that's as old as the hills, Willie. You know that. You know that there's been these quote-unquote professional Puerto Ricans that all they do is they find out a way, they coger ventaja, y son oportunistas, y al final lo que son es vende patria, because that's all they are, because they're looking for a way to take advantage of the situation. And the mere fact that this person would try to tell other Puerto Rican professors who have the temerity, the audacity to disagree with him, especially when he comes forth with charges that aren't even identified or substantiated. When he wrote, this guy's misquoting, he didn't give a single example. So you're going to expect people with PhDs just to accept whatever you say because you said it? That's when I decided to read his dissertation. That's when I published it with Angelo Falcón. And that's when this man, Harry Franquis Rivera, and I repeat it so people will know, he showed who he really is when he tries to get other professors fired from the PRSA and the PRSA board. That is low. And the way I guess the message I have for Harry is, hello, Harry, I'm standing here. I'm over here. Have the courage and the courtesy to come and deal with me. Come and talk to me. You don't have to attack third parties. You don't have to inflict damage on other people's careers. And especially, you don't try to do it in private. You don't try to do it in secret and try to have people fired or calumniao and ruin their reputations without them even knowing about it or having an opportunity to defend themselves in any way. Because that, my friend, is fascist. That is Nazi, and that is cowardly. And that's why I thought that Harry Franklin Rivera should be exposed for the vende patria that he is.
Well, you know, one of the things that I say that at this moment, at this juncture in history, with the, you know, our island, we need to get together. We need to hold hands, and we need to figure out things. It doesn't matter which road we take, as long as the road that we take leads to a better Puerto Rico. Unfortunately, I have seen a lot of this infighting with a lot of Puerto Ricanos. I have no idea why. I see it as a, you know, as a childish thing to me, to be honest. That's exactly what I was getting to. And I think that that's exactly what it is. I think that, you know, people should just, if you believe that I did something that is incorrect, correct me. But do it in a way that does not degrade or abuse other folks. And so that's my take on the whole thing. But you know what? You know, I think you've,
really,
you've
can I add
said,
one thing?
You've said,
really?
Go ahead.
Yeah, let me say one thing. I took notice of this. When I came out in the English version, había mucho nacionalista, like Heriberto Marín Torres, Rafael Cancel Miranda, Rubén Berríos, Kike Ayoroa. They had suggestions. They said, Nelson, you could add this, or we need to change this. For instance, instead of saying que fueron a asesinar a Harry Truman, que fueron a justiciar a Harry Truman. Little things like that, and little details about these examples. And you know what they did, Willie? They called me. They emailed me all the way from Puerto Rico. They, you know, and we talked about it, and we improved the book. We, you know, we made it something better, and that was, and we did that in the Spanish version.
But that was the right way to do it. That was the correct way to do it.
Yeah, and you know, but here's Harry's way. He hasn't contacted me once in a year and a half. And during that conference that I just mentioned, there was a workshop for the book, for War Against All Puerto Ricans, a two-hour workshop. He didn't come in. He didn't walk into that door when I'm physically there, where he finally has an opportunity to come and sit down with me and let's talk about this. So that he didn't come in. So, in other words, it's all behind closed doors. It's all this little sneaky stuff. And so it is clear that it isn't a matter of pursuing the truth or having the right narrative about Puerto Rico. It's just whatever little personal agenda that he has. And that, as you said, is a colonial personality. And it's really sad when you then try to take down other people. Not me, other professors. There's a 65-year-old man, William Velez, who's the president now of the PRSA. Does he need this? At this point, it's a voluntary. Does he need this at the end of a 30-year professional professorial career?
Your fights should be your fights, not no one, not someone else's. But anyways, listen, we're running short on time, and I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions. Perhaps this Mr. Harry Franqui Rivera will, you know, contact you somewhere in the future. If you like to, Mr. Rivera, you can always contact our show at will_Santiago@presentedepiedad.org if you want us to make that connection, and I'd be more than glad to pass it on if you're listening or if you ever get to listen to this show. But anyway, Nelson, gracias por esa presentación que me diste, porque yo quería por lo menos que la gente que te escuchan a ti, porque tú vienes aquí a menudo, que entendieran exactamente qué está pasando. Yo creo que ahora lo están entendiendo. Pero dime, antes de que terminemos nuestro show, algo nuevo que esté pasando con Puerto Rico.
Bueno, hay una dinámica que a mí me ha chocado. You may have noticed that the 7-member Financial Control Board immediately exercised jurisdiction over the Commonwealth government and on 25 state agencies. It did that in his first meeting. And it said, you know, we are taking this over. They cannot engage in any expenses without our approval. They've taken control of the Puerto Rican economy. They did that immediately. Okay. Then Governor Garcia Padilla submitted his required fiscal report. And this is what the Financial Control Board did. They rejected it in total. They said, no, we don't agree with any of these figures. We don't – none of these recommendations. We're not even going to consider this. We are now going to wait until the next governor comes in, and we want to use his report. Well, you know, it looks like let's call it for what it is. They're looking that the next governor is going to be from PNP, right? That's the way that we also know that the former president of the Government Development Bank, Garcia, is on the Financial Control Board, and Carrillo III is also on the former president of the Government Development Bank under Fortunio, and the brother-in-law of Pedro Pierluisi, who is presently the PNP resident commissioner. He's also on the Financial Control Board. And then the designated spokesperson, the person that they hired to be the press agent for the Financial Control Board, was the press agent for Fortunio. So it's all like a strong PNP infiltration there. And now they're waiting for this new governor to deal with him. So here's what the point I'm making, Will. If that was the idea, notice what the Republicans did in Congress. They rushed the PROMESA bill on the premise that we got to do something. If it was so urgent, then why did you appoint a Financial Control Board that now for 5 or 6 months isn't going to do anything? Because if they're waiting for this new governor, now they have to wait till January or February till the new governor promulgates his figures. So we're looking at a 5 or 6 month gap. You know what we should have done? We should not have had a financial – we shouldn't have had a PROMESA bill, because what the Republicans did is they rushed it so that they could appoint their people onto the Financial Control Board before a new Democratic majority might come into Congress. So
and of course, with the blessing of the president and two of our federal elected officials from New York.
Yeah, that's another story. But let me tell you where I think we should go. Will, because you asked what's happening, where is it going? Look, there was it was interesting. It was a Republican. His name is Gary Palmer, a real right-wing type of Republican. And he made a mistake. Maybe he realizes the mistake. He proposed an amendment to the PROMESA bill. He wanted to attach an amendment that would have exempted Puerto Rico from the Jones Act. And that makes sense. Because if you want to really do something to truly help the economy of Puerto Rico, as opposed to just send a collection agency for the hedge funds, if you're truly going to engage in some structural reform that allows Puerto Rico to move forward and be able to have an economy and be able to meet its debts, then you have to remove the Jones Act. So this guy proposed it as an amendment. It was immediately shot down. Not only was it not voted on, they didn't allow any debate or any discussion on the issue. Jim Young, the chairman of the Natural Resources Committee in Congress, struck it down as, quote-unquote, non-germane. Non-germane. Mm. So in other words, the true economy of Puerto Rico is not germane to this bill. Just what you want, this credit collection business. And you want to rush it so that you can appoint Republicans and PNP people onto the board. So here's what let me finish it with this, Will. Here's what I think. If Hillary wins and if she's sincere about looking at Puerto Rico, helping Puerto Rico, she should expend a little bit of political capital in this way. She should throw her weight behind saying, we need to amend the PROMESA bill. We need to start over. We need to reconsider having the Jones Act as an amendment to the PROMESA bill. And then since this PROMESA board, by its own admission, is not going to do anything for 5 or 6 months, and since we now have a new Congress and a new president, we need to re-empanel that PROMESA board with the people that we're going to be working with, because I'm going to be working with that PROMESA bill. The Treasury Department is going to be working with them. The IRS, all the Department of Commerce, the Merchant Marine, all the new administration and the new people are going to be working with that. So why should we have a ghost of a financial control board that was appointed by the ghost of an old administration and an old Congress? So that's what I'm going to lead her, Will, that we should have a new PROMESA bill with a Jones Act.
It looks like she's on her way to winning. Maybe a little rough now, but I think she's going to win it. I think that we need to begin the pressure on her to do this. So all these folks that are out there who are parts of groups that are doing their thing, this is the pressure, baby. Go out there and do it. You were saying nothing?
Does it make sense to you, Will? What I said,
yeah,
it
definitely does make sense. It does make sense. You know, hopefully then you know, if the Senate is flipped, also, seems like we may have a good chance. You know, there are some folks who could be helpful
these Republicans
in that fight.
Remember now, the Republicans have refused to even nominate a Supreme Court judge, and we only have 8 judges.
Yeah.
So, okay, if that's the logic that you want to use, saying we need to wait till after the election, fine. Then what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
It's good for the gander.
If you could do that to the highest court in the country, and you say we needed to wait to deal with the new administration, and now the Promesa Board is doing nothing, then fine. Then we need to re-impanel the Promesa Board as well.
Bueno. Y con eso los dejamos, mi gente, porque estamos ya para el final de nuestro show. Nelson, thank you. And remember, next week, we need that book, that new book of the month. So
I have a great book for
you. Excellent.
Okay,
that's what I wanted to hear. But mi gente, llegamos al final. Ustedes lo escucharon. Make your own decisions about what you heard tonight. I personally know Nelson for over 20 years. To me, he's a friend, a good friend, and I am happy that his book. As a catalyst when it comes to young people getting to understand what's going on in Puerto Rico. Many people have no idea, and the young people that I see reading this book now have an idea and are beginning to tener el sentimiento de luchar por su patria. Okay? This is something that this book has done, which is very positive, and I am proud that my friend wrote it, and I am proud that I call him my friend. So, los dejo con eso, y como siempre les digo, para saber de dónde vamos, tenemos que saber de dónde venimos. Que la pase bien, mi gente, y otra vez los dejamos con un poquito de música para terminar el show. Nos vemos la semana que viene con Boricua Book of the Month, conmigo, Will Santiago Viera, y con mi amigo Nelson Antonio Dennis. Hasta la próxima.